We praise the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty in the flesh, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We worship you today. We exalt you today. We thank you, Lord, that you came born of a virgin. We thank you, Lord God, that you came and lived that sinless life. Lord, we thank you for your ministry and all the truth you gave us. And then, Lord, you laid down your life as a sacrifice for our sins. You became, Lord, our Passover. You became our Passover lamb. Everything we needed, you fulfilled it. You completed it, shedding your blood on that cross. And then your resurrection from the dead put the seal upon it. Lord, we exalt you, God Almighty, the great mystery that you are the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, and also the Son, the mystery of the ages, that God became a man and dwelt among us and then gave his life to redeem us from our wicked, sinful ways. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. I want to say this. Look, y'all know that right now there are people who are calling you complete heretics on your way to hell because you were singing that song here on Christmas Eve. You know that? This is how psycho the Christian world has become. Complete psychos. And boy, have I ever stirred up the hornet's nest. God forbid that I should look at actual church history, what we found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and actually look at that the most clear date of Jesus being born would be in the end of December, and that the early church looked at this too and acknowledged this. And then I've got people coming against me saying, you gave out false information. No, I didn't. This is known, established church history. And then they say, they want to speculate, and they say, well, no, there's no way Jesus was born in December because the shepherds were in the fields, and, you know, Jesus tabernacled among us, so he had to be born at tabernacles. Wait a minute. When did Jesus tabernacle with us? When he was born or when he was conceived in the womb? See, he left his home and tabernacled in the womb of Mary. That's when he came. Does life begin at conception or when the baby's born? Come on, Christians. So that means he tabernacled. She would have been conceived. If we're going to go by that little analogy of theirs, he would have been conceived in late September. Oh, which would put 9 months later, about the end of December. The Eastern Orthodox Church, they actually, a lot of them celebrate the birth of Jesus on January 6th. Don't you find that interesting? Because, of course, the discrepancies in the calendars back in the days. But here's the thing. They act like you shouldn't celebrate the birth of Jesus, but the angels did, and the shepherds did, and the wise men were on their way. It just took them a while to get there. And they act like we shouldn't celebrate that. And it's just gotten down to a ridiculous level. I have literally been called everything from a wolf in sheep's clothing because of Christmas, right? I've been called leading people to hell. Oh, I've been called all kinds of stuff. And I just marvel. These Torah ministries out here. Let me just go on and tell y'all this because people think, oh, he's attacking Torah followers now. No, it ain't about attacking. I'm going to tell Torah followers the same truth I would tell a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon, a Muslim, or anybody else that's in a false religion or a cult. And you're in a cult. If you have decided to go back under the law and that is how you're going to be righteous and you're going to tell everybody else if you don't go back under the law, the old covenant law with us, that you're all going to hell, then you're in a cult. And it's not a new cult. There was a group called the Ebionites that rebelled against the council of Jerusalem, against the apostles and elders' council that decreed that the Gentiles were not ordered to keep the law or the Sabbath or the circumcision and all that stuff. And there was a group said, nope, you got to keep the law of Moses to be saved. Now, here's what's interesting. Some of these people, this is what they do. They dance, like this John Pounders of Now You See TV. I like what Paint Tank said. It shouldn't be Now You See TV. It should Now You See Torah Victims. is what it should be. Because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You hear me? We're under the New Testament now, not the old. If the old could have given life, there would have been no need for the new. If the old covenant and keeping the laws of the old covenant would have made you righteous, there would be no need for Jesus Christ. And see, you either look to Jesus for your righteousness by faith in him, by a relationship with him, or you look to your finding your righteousness by practicing the deeds of the law, going to the feast and all the ceremonies and the zeets and everything else. You can't have it both ways. In fact, the Bible says, Galatians, Paul said, the law is not of faith. You can't be in the law, walking under the law, and then say you are walking in faith. You are not. You are either walking in the faith of Jesus Christ, and you have a relationship with him, and your faith, the word faith means your trust. You rely on what you cling to make you holy, to make you righteous, to make you washed and clean, is either what Jesus did on the cross when he said it is finished, or it is in you trying to go back and mimic or try to do what you really can't do. And then say, if because I keep the feast, or try to, I asked one of them, and these hundreds, have y'all seen hundreds of comments under different posts? Hundreds. And I told one lady, I said, do you kill a lamb in the evening, roast it with fire, with your shoes on, and eat the whole thing and leave nothing left over until morning? Do you do that for your Passover? Oh, that's when they start squirming. Because they don't do any of that, right? And they say, oh, you need a priest. No, this is before the Passover was instituted before Moses got the law from the mountain. And then they want to say, well, Passover, you got to keep Passover because it's God said that that was going to be a feast forever, eternal. Yes, I agree. But the Bible says, the New Testament says, Christ our Passover. So the only way it's eternal, the only way you can experience it eternally and keep it perfectly is in Jesus. Jesus in you and you in Jesus, period. Not by these weak little Seder feasts they try to have. These are just mimicking something. They don't even do it by the Bible, and yet they want to say, you don't follow the Bible. This is what the level of ridiculous. We have a new group of Pharisees, folks, and they are the Torah movement. Hebrew roots. I don't care what you want to call them. And these ministries, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, these ministries like Now You See TV, Kingdom in Context, Parable of the Vineyard, all these Torah ministries have no authority from God to be teaching the Bible. They are not fivefold ministers. They don't even believe in the fivefold ministry. Most of them don't even believe in the New Testament. Most of them don't even believe Paul was a true apostle. Therefore, they throw out half of the New Testament. They are heretics. They are deceived. They are leading people down a road of destruction. Here's the thing, and let's just put this up. The law is not of faith. Galatians 3. That's it. You're either in faith or you're in the deeds of the law, right? Here's what's wild. You know, I'm going to say this. Who fought this the hardest out of the apostles? Now, Peter did some. But who fought it the hardest? It was Paul. You know, there was a few years ago, even before this whole thing started. I mean, I'm talking about going back. Well, probably when I started confronting Rob Skiba's error. And he's one of the biggest perpetrators and pushers of this stuff. But when I started confronting Rob Skiba about it in 2016, and I was driving down the road one, I was driving up the road, and I had the Holy Spirit speak to me. Oh, and by the way, John Pounders of Now You See TV thinks that that's just weird that people should say that God actually talks to them. That which shows me either he doesn't believe the Old Testament or the New Testament, because God spoke to people in both. Yeah, he doesn't trust people that say God speaks to them. Well, you know what, bud? You obviously don't know Jesus like I know Jesus then. You're obviously not filled with the same Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you and show you things to come. And how do you have a relationship with somebody you don't speak to? Amen, Pastor Troy. But that shows me
that they have no concept of what it means to actually walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. And what's interesting, the Bible says this, and y'all pull this verse up for me. The Bible says that we are, those who are what? Led by the Spirit are not under the law. But what's the opposite of that coin? If you're under the law, you're not led by the Spirit. What are you led by? Your own intellect, your own mind, your own abilities, because that's what you're trusting in. You're trusting in what you can do. Let me tell you right now, I don't care how many zits you wear. I don't care how many feasts you try to keep. I don't care how much you try to be holy according to the Old Testament. If you don't come to Jesus Christ by faith alone in his blood, his death, his resurrection, you cannot be righteous. Because there is none righteous, no, not one. No matter how hard all of us may try to live holy and righteous, we cannot do it. And Paul admitted this in Romans 7. He said, I want to do good, and I can't. He said, when I think I'm doing good, evil always there dwelling with me. The flesh wants to do evil all the time. And guess what? Paul said, there's things I want to do, I don't do, things I don't do. I want to do, and I mean, he just said, I mess up all the time, even though I delight. He said, I delight in the laws of God. And let me just say this right now. When Paul said that, he wasn't talking about the old covenant law. Paul was always living in the new covenant. People say, well, he circumcised Timothy. He circumcised Timothy because of the crazy Jews in that area that would have persecuted them to no end. He didn't do it because Timothy had to be circumcised to be righteous. He did it because Timothy would have been persecuted by the Judaizers, Ebionites, these Torah followers. That's why he did it. And to say any different is deception. But I was riding down the road one day. It's several years ago. I mean, it had to have been 2016, 2017 maybe. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, you have the anointing of the Apostle Paul on your life. And I understood what he was saying. Now, I'm not saying I'm like the Apostle Paul. I'm saying, but what the Lord has given me to fight is pretty much the same stuff that he was fighting in his day with all of his heart. He got called a false apostle. He got called all kinds of stuff. And that's what's another thing. Here it is, Galatians 5:18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Guess what, Johnny Boy, quarter pounder? I am led by the Holy Spirit and have been for 36 years. Here's what's dishonest about Mr. John Quarter Pounder with Cheese. Here's what's sad. He called me a few years ago and said that my sermons and messages on the Torah movement and what was wrong, and he said that helped him. And now it's like he's flipped backwards again. Oh, he'll probably lie and say he didn't have that phone call conversation with me, but I assure you I'm not the one that would be lying here. Yeah, he misspoke. I guess that's what he might say, right? I ask him plainly. Now, this is what you do. Let me tell you what you do with these Torah followers. Just ask them this. Just ask them, say, well, if I don't try to keep the Old Testament feast, or if I celebrate Christmas, am I going to hell? Is that a salvation issue? Am I going to lose my salvation? I asked him that on his page, tagged him, because he tagged me. Don't start tagging me and don't think I'm going to respond. So I tagged him back and said, hey, is it a salvation issue? I knew he wasn't going to answer. I waited. In fact, it was like the next morning, I said, still waiting on John Pounders to answer me. And you know what he said? Oh, I'm not God. I can't say that. I'm like, oh, I knew you wouldn't answer because you're a chicken. You're a little chick. No, you're a coward. Because not answering, his followers started answering. Matter of fact, you got some of those underneath the John Pounders? All right, well, here's the one where I said, still waiting for John Pounders to answer. Do you, John, believe a Christian who celebrates Christmas will lose their salvation and spend eternity in hell? A simple yes or no will do. I'm not God, and I don't make that call. I have conviction that it was wrong and you were wrong. I would ask you in return, do you think it's a salvation issue to encourage people to celebrate Christmas knowing now that you used unverified information? And I did not, actually. And two, what they did on their video they did about against me was wrong because they quit reading They didn't keep reading what they were reading. If you keep reading it, you find out, no, it's pretty much the what we know to be true. As best we can with church history, we know to be true. So, and then he goes, to make this argument about whether or not it's a salvation issue seems childish. No, because see, what it does is if you say it's not a salvation issue, then I'm going to go, then why all the big division, strife, and hubbub, right? Then it's a matter of conscience. You just let Christians celebrate it or not celebrate it. It doesn't matter, right? But if you do think it's a salvation issue, now it's become salvation by your works, clearly. And now you've just damned most of the Christian world to hell because they don't do things like you or believe like you. And you do not understand the gospel of what? We're saved by grace through faith. Not of works. Let's put up the one I think comes down right after this. Let's see. Yeah, like here, of course, they say, Dino, depart from me, you who keep the law. It's not what he said. I will declare to them, I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness. See, what they're saying, whatever they say that, these Torah followers, if you don't do things the way they think you ought to do with the feast and the tzitzits and everything else, then you're lawless. You have no law. But they don't understand the New Covenant, New Testament law. We have moral law under the New Covenant. You can't continue to be an adulterer and go to heaven. You can't continue to be a murderer and go to heaven. You can't continue to live in fornication or drunkenness or witchcraft or, you know, unforgiveness. We preach these things. Now, granted, there are churches who preach you're once saved, always saved, no matter how you live, and that is abuse of grace. That's why the first book I wrote was Grace Abuse, to show that the New Covenant has moral law that we must follow and we must obey and we can't live in habitually. But the Bible is clear that we do not go back under old covenant ceremonies, rituals, dietary laws. We're not held by those things. The Bible is clear about these things. But the moment you start making the requirement to keep a feast or a Sabbath or a new moon as a requirement for salvation, you have departed from the gospel, the new covenant, New Testament gospel of Jesus Christ, and you are under a curse. You need to go ahead. Galatians 1 says you are cursed over this issue. And the Lord is about to start making that more evident, who is cursed and who is not. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, he did it between me and Rob Skiba. I know that may sound harsh, but I warned him. If he didn't stop preaching his false gospel of going back under the law, that the judgment of God would be upon him. This is in a sermon from several years ago. And not only did he not stop, but he doubled down and went and got to the point where if you eat bacon, you're going to hell. So I don't care. Y'all think that I'm being rough. I loved Rob. I pleaded with Rob. I'm the one who spent hours on the phone with Rob. My family will tell you, screaming at each other back and forth. Going over this. Because this is a salvation issue. This is an issue that brings either the spiritual blessings of God into your life or the spiritual curse into your life. The moment you start saying, I've got to keep these deeds of the law, you are saying Jesus is not enough. The moment you do it. Now, I had a friend, I've told you all this story before. I had a friend since the 80s that got into the Hebrew roots thing, and he would do the feast thing, and he would do the, you know, I mean, he was into it. But never did he ever say or teach, you have to do these things to be saved or to be right with God or to show you really love God. That's what a lot of them say. You just don't really love God like we love God because we do these things. But my friend never did that. And you know what? I celebrated Passover with him and tabernacles with him at times when we would be around each other. I wasn't against it. It's not that I'm against people doing that. If you want to do it, do it. But the moment you start saying, this is what makes me better than you. This is what shows that I love God more than you. This shows that you're just a lukewarm, Pauline, antinomian, lawless Christian. Because see, you know what? That's what Rob Skiba called me, a Pauline, antinomian, lawless, antichrist spirit preacher. That was Rob Skiba's assessment of me at the end. Which shows he had an issue with Paul. He didn't understand what I taught about repentance from sin in the new covenant. But literally believed, because I didn't adhere to the dietary laws and the feast and all these other things, that I was lawless and had the spirit of Antichrist. This is where they go. And once you start doing that, you start condemning Christians who don't practice their Christianity like you. And you know, here's the word. Listen, look, condemning. What does condemning mean? Condemning means when you sentence someone and basically say there's no hope. Basically, if you don't do it like my way, there's no hope. Right? Do you realize how many Christians there are out there that have different ways of practicing their faith, but truly have been born again and believe Jesus is God in the flesh and died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead, and they've been born again and they don't want to live in sin, but they have all kind of different ways that they practice that. Eastern Orthodox, Russian Orthodox. I mean, you got all these different ones. Are there saved people in those, all these churches? There's saved people in the Catholic Church. Not all of them. That's why Jesus said, come out of her, my people. Well, if there was none of his people in there, how could he say, come out of her, my people, right? But look, I come against and expose the problems within the Christian world. Every denomination, I'm equal opportunity. I know what's wrong with the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Charismatic Church, the Pentecostal Church, the Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church. They all got errors in them. But at the end of the day, what it comes down to is individual. You're not going to stand before God with the Eastern Orthodox Church standing next to you. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you and him alone. Now the question's going to be, did you walk in faith? Did you walk led by the Spirit of God? Did you love Jesus? Did you hear his voice and follow him? It's not going to be, did you wear tzitzit? It's not going to be, did you keep the Passover? It's not going to be any of that. In fact, the New Testament, never in any of the list, Ephesians 5, Galatians 5, 1 Corinthians 5, Revelation 21, 6-8. None of those lists of sin says, oh, you didn't keep the Sabbath, you're going to hell. Oh, you ate some pork, you're going to hell. Nowhere in the New Testament does it say that is a sin unto eternal damnation. So anybody who says it is a false teacher, a liar, and they're the wolves in sheep's clothing because they're pretending to be righteous by their works, by their deeds of the law, by going back under the old covenant. In fact, you all want to talk about a cult. This is the cult the New Testament writers warned about the most. They were dealing with the Gnostics, who were denying that Jesus came in the flesh as God Almighty, and they were dealing with the Ebionites, the ones who would say, I'm a Christian, but you have to live under the law to be saved. Those were the two things they were dealing with the most. I marvel that we are back here again. But remember, there's nothing new under the sun. The devil really has not many new tricks. He just repackages, rebrands, right? They don't call it Ebionites anymore. Let me show you some. Let's show you another one under this one. I can't remember. It was Micah, Michael, or something like that. They'll find it. I just threw these at them, y'all, at the last second here. So they're just finding stuff. Ah, here's this one. Yeah, get ready to put this guy up. You can put this one right here. So this guy commented on my page, Loire Tinis or whatever. Who knows if that's even a real name. Some of these, I'm going to tell you what some of these people are. Some of these people, I think, are working for the Kabbalist Jews. And they are trying to drag Christians back into trying to be Jews so that they can slap over. It's the Noahide law issue. But just remember, just like there's agents of Satanism and all kinds of Wicca and witchcraft and New Age, there's Kabbalist Jews who are also trying to drag Christians away from Jesus and the true New Testament faith. But this guy says all Christians commit the unforgivable sin. Do you have the bigger pictures? He also said some stuff about being born again. Do you have that? Oh, yeah, here he is. I looked at his page. I was like, what? All Christians commit the unforgivable sin. So he said he believes all Christians are going to go to hell. Yeah, all Christians go to hell. So if you're not a Torah follower like him, you're just a Christian, normal, walk by faith, believe in Jesus Christian, you're going to hell. You want to tell me this isn't a cult? Oh, no, it's a cult. Let's keep going. He's got another one, says about being born again. Oh, you're going to love this. It's with the Robert Downey Jr. meme. Yeah, but keep scrolling down. I think it's down there. You'll find it in a second. But on my page, on my Facebook page, they were saying, oh, that's, you're quoting verses from Paul. He was a false apostle. Here's what's funny about that. Who did the apostles and elders after the Council of Jerusalem send with the letter to take to the Gentile churches? Who did they send to deliver that message? Paul and Barnabas. Who wrote Acts? Not Paul, Luke. What did Peter say about Paul at the end of his life? Our beloved brother Paul, and referred to Paul's writings as scriptures. So here what I'm saying. You throw out the Apostle Paul, you got to throw out Luke, you got to throw out Peter. And then where are we? See, what ends up happening, I've watched some of these Torah heads end up saying that they no longer believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I've seen that. I've seen them go that far. They end up denying the Lord completely. But here's the thing. I want to say this. A lot of them start out because of these hateful, the Protestant evangelical churches that they hate so much that many of them got saved in. Yeah. End up saying and start teaching Jesus is not God Almighty in the flesh. Now, once you go there, you are now in complete heresy. You are no longer Christian doctrine. You might as well just be Islam, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, whatever you want to call it. Because all the cults and false religions deny that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, the Creator in the flesh. And the moment you deny that, the moment you reject that doctrine, you are no longer walking in the doctrine of Christ, and you do not have God, period. I don't care how much you talk about the Bible. I don't care how many videos you make. You don't know God. You don't have God. How do I know that? 2 John. Let's go to that first. Oh, we'll go ahead and put it up. Oh, here we go. So I'm basically unrecognizable compared to the old me. He said, but being born again doesn't happen until the resurrection, people. One can circumcise their brain and heart, choose to change and be obedient, and that takes time. Not a one-time dunk in the water. You can walk away at any time. The face I make when someone says, "And I'm born again." So they mock being born again. And being born again is an instant. It is a moment that you have with Jesus. It is a beginning of your regenerated spiritual life and reconnection to him. How much blasphemy is that right there? Because Jesus is the one in John 3 who taught you must be born again. Doesn't happen until the resurrection. No, you better be born again before the resurrection happens. But see, do you see how dangerous these people are? This is sick error. This is not minor error. This is sick, horrible, demonic error. That's why one of the chief historians of the church back in the 3rd century, Eusebius, who wrote and chronicled the history of the early church going from the first century to the third century, and he said that this doctrine of going back under the law, he said, is a doctrine of demons. So I don't feel bad at all for agreeing with him. Where did I just tell you to turn? Well, first, let's go to Isaiah 9, then we're going to go to 2 John real quick. Isaiah 9, you're getting a Christmas message today. You know how rare that is? I don't do holiday theme messages. But I kept praying over the last few days, Lord, what do you want me to do? And all I kept feeling was, oh, just share what's been going on. I'm like, okay, Lord. Because y'all need to know, this is the battle. It's a real battle. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I get a little weary sometimes flinging myself out into all these battles to take all this heat. But the Lord makes me do it. But let's read this. This is, I love this verse. It's one of my favorites. But verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So we know a child's going to be born. We know he's going to be a son, a male child. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, this right here, if nothing else settles it for you, the child, who is also the son, is also called the Father, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God. Not a God, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He wanted to make sure that you didn't get this confused. I had a guy come on my post, oh, no, Jesus is, he's one of the sons of God. He's an archangel. Well, guess what? That's the teachings within, what is it, Jehovah's Witnesses, and who was it? The Seventh-day Adventist, the woman believed that. Ellen White, yeah. But this verse right here, this passage tells us who is going to be born. A son. See, what a lot of people don't understand is that the Son of God is just one of his titles. It's not the only thing who he is. He has many titles. That's just one. So he's not just the Son. He's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the Word who was with God and was God. Now, I know that fries our brain sometimes, trying to figure out how that works. Oh, and let me clarify, because somebody attacked me for this. The open vision that I had of heaven, and this should not be odd. Ezekiel had this, and other prophets had this. Stephen, when he's being stoned, had this vision, the heaven open. I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. You don't see the Father. I'll tell you that right now. You know what the Father appeared like when I saw this open vision of heaven? Brighter than the sun. I could not look into it. I couldn't see him at all, but I saw Jesus standing there in that glory. You could see Jesus. Now, I couldn't see his face clearly, but I could see his outline, his whole body. And then I saw stretching out of the glory of the Father's blinding light, I could see the doves of the Holy Spirit just moving like this over Jesus. I couldn't see the body of a dove. I just could see the wings because it was like the light was too bright. And the power of God and the glory of God was on me so strong, I thought Jesus was coming back. That's how powerful and real it was. Now, here's something. Anybody wants to attack me over that? I don't really care because guess what? The Bible says in Ezekiel 13, it's the false prophets who see nothing. The true prophets, the true apostles will see Jesus. We will see visions. We will see heaven. We will see the glory of God. I'm not ashamed of that. I've seen heaven open. God has shown me. I have seen hell as well open. I've seen the ground open and God has shown me hell. I guess he wanted me to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Yes, son, they exist. Heaven's a real place. Hell's real. Heaven's right up there and hell's right down there. But why would I apologize or think it's strange? God called me, the first calling ever put on my life, to be a prophet. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of that at all. And I am a prophet who has seen the Lord in different places, at different times, in different ways. I've seen the glory of God manifest. I've seen angels. I've seen demons. And I'm talking about wide awake with my eyes open. That shouldn't be strange. That's like New Testament happenings every day. We read the New Testament. That's the book of Acts. Child. Oh. Anybody. Let me tell you something. You hear anybody teaching that, even hinting at, that Jesus is not fully the fullness of the Godhead bodily, as Paul wrote in Colossians, or as Isaiah wrote right here. Anybody even hints at Jesus not being God Almighty, the Creator, being anything less than that, you run from them, because they are a false teacher. They are operating under a demon spirit, and they are lying to you and deceiving you. Only, folks, only the blood of God Almighty becoming a human being could save us. Not the blood of another human being, and certainly not an angel. Whew. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. There's a little hint for the Tartarian people. And upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal. Now let's go back. I know I said that. I wanted you to see that. And I could go through the whole scripture about the deity of Jesus Christ, is God in the flesh. But I want you to go to 2 John. See, I got criticized because I've been blocking these folks and banning them from my social media left and right. I will give them scripture. I will talk to them for a minute. They want to keep arguing and pushing their doctrine and trying to use my platform to teach their false doctrine. They get banned and blocked. No, it's no different than I would not let them come in here and stand in this pulpit and teach you error. It's not going to happen, ever. Right? I'm sorry. They want to talk about, oh, there's, you shouldn't censor people. It's free speech. No, it's free speech on your page, your house, not my page, my house. Sorry. You don't get to walk in my house and say whatever you want. You start insulting my wife, you're going to find yourself laying out in the front yard. You understand? It's my house. It's called respect, right? Let's go to 2 John. I need to turn there. I keep pausing to preach. I'm a little fired up this morning. I you know what? I scrolled by and I saw you marching, and I said, oh, he's on it now. I didn't have time to watch at that moment. Listen, I was like, oh, Pastor Troy's on it now. All right. 2 John, of course, it's only one chapter. Go down to verse. I'm going to back up. Let's go to verse 7. Because the Apostle John is addressing deceivers that are in the world. And he says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And remember, the Jesus he's talking about is God in the flesh. Anything less than that is not Jesus. Not the Jesus of the Bible. It's the fake Jesus. But what does he say? For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So you don't bless these people. You don't invite them in. You don't say, hey, use my platform and preach your nonsense. It's never going to happen. And see, that's what, so one lady said, you shouldn't be banning folks and blocking folks. You should leave their comment, let people make up their own. No. You're not teaching your doctrine, and I got to guard the young believers, the new believers. No. I leave it here, Somebody might get confused. I mean, you want to talk about a job I've had the last few days, just banning and blocking people. In fact, in my friend request, you know what I do now? I scrolled it, and I got so many friend requests. I got thousands now. I can't even go through them all. And I'm going through them, and this is what I do. I click on it and see if it's, try to see if it's a real Facebook page and not a counterfeit, right? Sometimes you can figure it out. Sometimes you can't. But I also go, if I start seeing Yahushua, law stuff, I'm like, nope, you're not. I'm not even accepting those friend requests. Not even doing it. Because I'm like, I'm going to have to deal with them again later. Right? I'm just not doing it. If they want to find out what Pastor Dean believes, you go to deanodal.org. You go to videos by topic. And there's a whole little, there's a bar. It says Torah Observance. There's a whole, about how many hours of teachings on that? At least 12 videos. Most of them are almost 2 hours long. All right? You will know. It's not hidden what I believe about this. And I've systematically dealt with it for years. But folks, it's serious. When you depart from the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and I don't understand, I'm going to say something else. I don't understand how people don't understand about Jesus fulfilling the law. Like if you look up the word where it says, he said, I came not to destroy the law and the prophets. No, he didn't. He said to fulfill it. The word there in the Greek means to complete it, to fill it up. Like there's a pitcher that's not full yet, and he fills it to the top. It's complete. And here's what the amazing Colossians says. If you walk with him by faith, you are complete in him. You see, there's no way that any of us could go back and keep everything that's required in the law, every jot and tittle. Only he could do it. So Jesus did it. He fulfilled the law. He walked perfectly. He didn't violate any aspect of the law because he never sinned. So Jesus never sinned. So then he decides, all right, I'm laying down my life. I'm paying the price because only the sinless, spotless lamb could pay the price. And he pays the price. And he says, while he's dying on the cross, while his blood is running down the cross beams, it is finished. What is it? What is finished? He tells us in Colossians, he took away the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. What is that? The law. The law that we couldn't keep. He kept it. So here's the way. I need somebody. Faith, come here. Don't shake your head no, because it's going to happen. You should just put your head down and not see me. All right. I'm going to try to do it because I need my daughter. So, somebody else, it might be weird. All right. So, here's the thing. All right. Let's say she's Jesus. She's fulfilling the law, right? All right. Here's the thing. If I'm in Jesus and he's in me, then the law is fulfilled. Right? But if I step out of Jesus, then it's not fulfilled and can't be. I can't keep it unless I'm in him. And he's in me. All right. You understand that? He fulfilled it. He did it. He finished it. He's the only one that could live it. He lived it for you and for me. And the only way that we can live in the fulfilled law is by being in Jesus Christ by faith, not by works. And that's why, listen, it is offensive to God now. It is offensive to him to say, Jesus, I don't need, not enough. Let me go over here and got to do these things to be righteous that he already fulfilled. It is a slap in the face. I mean, it's like me buying you a brand new car, Pastor Troy, and then you saying, you know what? I think I don't like it, and just roll it off a cliff. I'm going to go over here and work for my own car. And you go, wow, that wasn't very nice. But do you understand what I'm saying? He did it for us. All you had to do is get in the car and drive it, enjoy it, right? Nah, I got to go back over here and keep working to save up for my own car. That's really stupid. I love being in Jesus. See, and this is what gets me. All of a sudden, because these people come up with their new cult, all of a sudden, all of us that's been walking with Jesus for years and decades, leading people to Jesus, casting demons out of people, laying hands on the sick, risking our lives on the mission field. All of a sudden, we're heretics, we're wolves in sheep's clothing, we're going to hell. This is horrible deception, this Torah movement nonsense. It really is. It's beyond words. And I know good people have gotten sucked into it with good intentions. I understand that. But there are good intention people in Islam, in Jehovah Witnesses, in Mormons. Your good intentions don't mean it's okay for you to stay in deception. And it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm sorry that I tell you it's a cult and it's deception and it's error. And I'm sorry that hurts your feelings. But guess what? If I tell a Jehovah Witness that standing at the door, they don't like it either. No, I tell you the truth because I love you. This, you know, let's go to Galatians. Somebody say Galatians. Oh, my Lord. It's amazing. I want to read this little story here. Y'all don't mind if I read a little bit, do you? So here's what Paul, these people that hate Paul, Paul tells you, I have the blessing of all the apostles. He had the blessing of all the other apostles. Isn't it amazing that the apostles could seem to discern whether the apostle Paul was a true apostle or not, but these guys can? John Quarter Pounder with Cheese thinks he can discern better than James, John, Peter. This is the arrogance at which they live. Let's read this. Verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren. Titus was compelled to be circumcised. Why? Because Paul thought he had to keep the law? No, because of false brethren who were in the midst persecuting and condemning them if they weren't circumcised, saying they had to be circumcised to be right with God. And Paul calls them false brethren. That's why they hate Paul, because Paul just told them exactly who they are and what they're about. And he says, but neither Titus, who was with me being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily or by stealth. And this is why, like John Pounders wouldn't admit, he wouldn't answer my question. Because, see, Christmas, being anti-Christmas, is their big recruiting tool. This is why I stirred up such a hornet's nest, because what they do is they get these Christians who are dissatisfied in these lukewarm evangelical churches out here, and I fully understand that. And they get them and go, see, you shouldn't be celebrating Christmas. You should celebrate feasts like us. Right? And these Christians who are not Holy Spirit filled and not led by the Holy Spirit, because the reason they're unsatisfied is not because of their church, it's because they themselves are not full of the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit, because if you are, I don't care where you go to church, you're on fire for God. So he said, it's deceitful to not answer my question, because that's your little recruiting tool. And if you answer my question, you're busted. You're busted, homie. Busted. It's that question, the same question. Remember Jesus asked the Pharisees, the baptism of John, is it of God or men? And they sit there and went, if I say it's of God, then he'll say, why don't you believe me? If we say it's of men, all the people know John was a prophet, so we are in trouble. So I'm not going to answer. They say, we're not going to answer. Jesus said, well, I'm not talking to you anymore either. I'm not answering any more of your questions. Yeah, that group right there stopped asking him questions. I love when Jesus asks questions. Because you know he already knew the answer. Right? But he says about these people, look at this. This is what's beautiful. He says, and because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Look at that. Yeah. Who is he talking about again? He's talking about these Judaizers, these Ebionites, these Pharisees who they might have believed Jesus was the Messiah, but you still got to do things our way. And he said, they're false brethren. They've snuck in among us. He said, and they hate our liberty or freedom that we have in Christ in the new covenant. They hate it. They want to bring us back into that bondage. Trying to make sure we fulfill every jot and tittle of the law. No, you can't do it. And the disciples in Acts 15, the apostles and the elders said, it is bondage. Don't put that yoke of bondage on the Gentiles. They have received Jesus by faith. Don't put that on them. Oh. He says this, though. He said, they came in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for our hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Meaning that at the time, there were so many of them that they could not just root. Paul was like, we can't root them all out. We kind of have to just deal with it, that they're here. Because a lot of them act like, oh, I'm a Christian. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. It's not a salvation issue. But then you start pressing them down on it. Well, do I really have to keep the feast? Do I really have to wear the tzitzit? Do I really have to be circumcised? Well, yeah, if you love God. And I'm like, oh, you dirty little trickster. See, why don't you just say what you believe? Quit hiding it. That's why I have more respect for the ones that say, you anti-law Christians that don't want to keep the law. You're a bunch of heathens going to hell. I have more respect for that than I do the one like Pounders that wants to sneak in and not answer the question. Little weasels. He said, to whom we gave subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's persons. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas, or Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace, the anointing, the word grace here is charisma. And it means the touch of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God upon you. And he says, when the three pillars of the church, the apostles, perceive, discern the anointing, the grace that was upon Paul, he says, they gave unto us the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision, only that we would remember the poor, the same which I am also forward to do. Now, let me back up right here. When he says the apostleship of the circumcision and uncircumcision, all he's saying is that Peter's primary ministry was going to be to the Jews. But who did God use to first preach the gospel to the Gentiles? Was it Paul? No, he wasn't saved yet. It was Peter. So just because you have an apostleship to a certain group of people, or maybe a certain region or something, doesn't mean that you don't do everything. Okay, I'm just saying this, but he was just saying that's the main focus. Paul also went to the Jews. Matter of fact, in every place he went, the first place he went to preach would be in the synagogues. And then when they would become like the stubborn Jews that they were, they would get kicked out and they would go to the, he said, we shake the dust off, we go to the Gentiles. All right. Now, this is also letting you know, Paul's letting you know by this letter he's writing, that the hand of blessing and fellowship came down from the top. Anybody is anti-Paul as an apostle? Have you found any of those? Be ready to put those up. Anybody that's anti-Paul as an apostle is deceived. They're listening to demons. Now, let's read this on. I'm going to be closing maybe in a few minutes. Now, I like this. He says, verse 11, But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. This shows you the level of persecution and pressure coming from these Ebionite Judaizers. And boy, have you seen it on my page? Oh, I liked you at the debate, the flat earth debate, but now you must be controlled opposition because you're against us Torah people. No, I'm not against you, but I hope you make it out of that false cult and come back to Jesus by faith. He says, he withstood Peter to the face. He says, verse 13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. Now, this was causing division within a church that was Jew and Gentile fellowshipping together, fully at peace, in freedom, in Jesus, in faith in Jesus, having a great time. And all of a sudden, these Jews from Judea come in, and everybody, oh, Peter and even Barnabas. Oh, you can't eat with them. You know what these are going to say over here. Tell me, even two mighty apostles were affected by peer pressure. But there has to be one that stands up. See, and that's why I don't care. I take the heat. I tell the Lord all the time, can I just retire? And he's like, no. He's like, Lord, I'm tired of being fighting everybody. And he's like, it's like, welcome to my world. But when I saw that they walked, here, listen to this. When I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel. Oh, gosh. Paul has to stand up to people who were apostles before him and say, what are y'all doing? You're not walking uprightly the correct way according to the gospel. You are causing division in the body of Christ. And there's nothing causing more division in the church than this Torah movement thing. And see, I get sick of it. The reason I came out with the Christmas Concerning Christmas article, I get sick of the Christmas hating. Just, I mean, it's like if you have a tree decoration or open a present, you are headed to hell. And I'm just like, are you serious that this is what this has come to? But yes. But he told them, Paul rebuked them and said, you don't walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. I said to Peter before them all. So don't say you're not supposed to say it publicly. If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Oh, hold on. We got to pause again. He just said, Peter, you don't live as the Jews. Oh, wait a minute. The apostle of the circumcision doesn't live as a old covenant Jew. That's what he just said. He said, now all of a sudden, what are you doing? You don't live as a Jew anymore. Oh, but now you want to compel these people to live like Jews. He says, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I mean, it's not like it's not plainly here. This battle already took place. No flesh is justified by going to do the works of the Old Testament law. Here, let me clue you in on something else. Let's just say that you're an unsaved person who decides you're going to live by New Testament moral. You're not going to be an adulterer. You're not going to be a thief. You're not going to be a fornicator. You're not going to be a drunkard. You say, I'm going to live a moral life. But you hadn't been born again. You're still not righteous. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, meaning that I don't care if you try to do it morally in the new covenant as a new covenant morality, or you try to go back and do old covenant morality, you still got to come to this one person named Jesus Christ and believe and trust what he did, not what you can do. Because even the most devout person in the new covenant trying to be moral understands, I still can't do it on my own. I have to be in Jesus. He's the only one who did it, and he's the only one who can do it through me. Whew. Now, he says this. I'm going to read it again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even as we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The moment you say, doing this means I really love God. Doing this means I'm really more righteous than you. No, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not more righteous than you. And you're not more righteous than me, because we get from the same place, the blood of Jesus Christ, period. So you can not celebrate Christmas, you can celebrate Christmas. Guess what? Neither of those things make you righteous or unrighteous. Oh, I'm not going to do any man-made traditions. I better not see you at a 4th of July celebration. I better not see you at a birthday party. In fact, I better not see you at Hanukkah. I better not see you at anything else. Mm-mm. You better be sitting in your house mully grubbing. That's what you better be doing. I better not see you celebrate anything. Right? Well, if it's not. People say, oh, well, if it's not in the Bible, I ain't doing it. But then why are you on social media? Because that's not in the Bible. Why are you driving a car? That's not in the Bible. You know. No, they do a lot of stuff that's not in the Bible, just whatever suits them. Look at this. I'm gonna keep reading this so they won't say I took it out of context. But after he says this, that no flesh shall be justified by the works of the law, only by the faith in Jesus. He says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. He said, I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You are frustrating the grace of God. And I'm not talking about a grace that says you can do whatever you want, because true New Testament Christians don't believe you can live in sin and go to heaven. No. But you frustrate the grace of God when you add things that are not required. Well, let's just use the dietary laws, for example. You start saying, well, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't eat this, da-da-da-da-da. You've got to follow the Old Testament dietary laws. But what did the Apostle Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 4? Every creature of God is good, not to be refused, as long as it's received with what? Thanksgiving and prayer. It is. He said it's sanctified. What does sanctified mean? Something that used to be unclean is now made clean and holy and usable for service. Somebody say every creature. That means I can kill me a little squirrel and eat it. That means I can kill me a little piglet, a little chicken, a little mole rat, a Nutri-Rat, frog, shrimp, fluffy scrimps. You understand? I pray over it, and it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I give thanks for it. Somebody say it again one more time. Every creature. Right? But these people want to come along and put this yogurt. No, you can't eat that. You can't eat this. You can't eat that. You know, I'm going to tell you why God did this too. Why the New Testament has a different set of laws. Because beforehand, the old covenant was focused just on this small group of Jews, Hebrews, whatever you want to call them, Israelites. Remember, even when Jesus came, he said, I'm not come, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Because when Jesus came in the flesh as a man, he came to operate under the old covenant until he was to die on the cross. Remember, the Last Supper, the last Passover, he says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, right? So Jesus operated fully under the old covenant until he was crucified, all right? Now, he knew, and we knew, God knew, and if you knew the scriptures, you knew that the purpose of the gospel was going to be, and what Jesus did, once he went to the cross, that's when it was for everybody, to the world. And you were going to go into different cultures and different regions of the world. And I've shared this, how my friend of mine was a missionary in the Philippines, and he would go out and try to win these people who lived on these stilt huts out over the water. And the only food that these people could ever find out there was shrimp and fish, and mostly shrimp. And you're going to go to them, Torahead, and tell them that they can't eat shrimp when that's about all they would drop down nets out of their houses in the water, pull the shrimp up. They had enough money at times, maybe selling shrimp, I don't know, but to get it some rice. And they would, he said, nearly every meal we ate rice and shrimp. He said it was good too. And didn't the Lord say, when you go and you eat what they set before you? When I went to the island of Mauritius, you know what they love setting before me to eat? Octopus. And I ate it gladly. Oh, I'm fine with anything. Just I eat oysters and everything else. See, I'm just a heathen, right? No, I'm a Gentile. I ain't ashamed. I'm happy to be a Gentile. I'm not trying to be a Jew. I'm not a Jew wannabe. I'm happy being a Gentile, born again Christian. I'm happy with that. I don't need anything else. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Oh, foolish Galatians. Now, when Paul wrote the letter, there's no separation. He goes straight from that. Verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you? Now, he tells them, you have let yourselves be bewitched away from the truth. This going back under the law is a bewitching. You know, because it has the facade of being of God or godly, that's the way they trick you. And the devil always does that, doesn't he? He'll always put out a little bit of something that makes it look okay, that makes it look good. Remember what he said about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Oh, it looked good. It looked good for food. And it would make one wise. Why not eat this? And this is what they think. They think they got some deep revelation. That's some new way. Some deeper way. We just don't see it. I've been walking with God and studying this Bible for 36 years. I trust that I see what I need to see. You know, I told my wife the other day, I said, you know what? I said, I learned this principle when I was 19 years old. This isn't a hard one. I remember I gave my life back to the Lord. I repented, and I just started reading the New Testament. Read it through first. And I understood. Yeah. I mean, I just knew it. In fact, at the time, I couldn't even go to church. So I didn't have anybody teaching me anything. There was no internets either. So I didn't have any internet. In fact, I was out in the mountains of Arkansas by myself. I would go to work 10 miles away, come back to my place that I lived by myself, read the Bible and pray, and then I had to work on Sundays. I had no preaching, no influence from anybody else. Just read the Bible for a year. You know how good that is? Sometimes I wish I could go back. No social media, no cell phones. Yeah, didn't have a cell phone. Didn't have a phone where I lived. I was out in just with the Lord. And it was a wonderful time. I learned a lot of things. But let's keep reading this. Now, he says, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? Oh, see, this is another area you want to get real sticky about. I don't see in these Torah movement, I don't see the gifts of the Holy Spirit moving. I don't see the power of God moving. I don't see miracles happening. Folks, when you don't see anything like that, or you hear people talking against it, like, that's strange to talk about hearing God's voice. You know nothing about being led by the Spirit or operating in the Spirit of the supernatural. This is why I'm telling you, run. Run from these Torah ministries. They are counterfeits. They are deception. I would tell the same thing. I used to, Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door. I've told y'all this. I'd have them read. I'd say, turn in your New World Translation, even in that screwed up Bible they had. Turn into Mark chapter 16. Let's read this. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out demons, speak with new tongues, heal, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I just asked them, I said, do these things happen in your, at your Kingdom Hall church there on Saturday, on the Sabbath? No. I said, doesn't mine. So guess what? Why would I trade mine for yours? I mean, right now I got a list of people to sit down and do deliverance with. And the ones that have gone through deliverance, lives transformed, bodies healed, minds healed, delivered. All right. I gotta get done here. He says here, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, not by going back under the old covenant, but by faith, he preached the gospel in Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Meaning at one day, because of you, the gospel will go to all the nations of the world, the Gentile nations. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Notice what he's saying here. If you live by faith, not by works of the law, you're blessed. For as many as are of the works of the law, that's what they think, that's what they focus on, that's what they want to do. They are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Somebody say through faith. Now, I could keep reading. I could keep going on down through this. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But once we found faith in Christ, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. How many different ways does it have to be said? And it's not that anybody is against the law and the prophets. I thank God for them. They brought us to this place. They let us know through the prophecies. Even Moses said, there's going to come a prophet after me. He's like me, but if you don't trust him, you'll be cut off. And Hebrews 3 is very clear. You either live in Moses' house or you live in Jesus' house. He talks about there's two houses. You pick which one you're going to live in. And he was saying this to Hebrew Jewish Christians who were struggling. And he said, which one's it going to be? Jesus' house or Moses' house? You can't live in both houses. So, you are free, Gentile Christian, and even Jewish Christian. You are free. What you have to walk according to is the new covenant. You don't live in the old covenant anymore. Hence the name, old, new. And if the old was sufficient, there would have been no need for the new, right? That's why, what is it, Luke 5? Go to the new wine verses there. I want to show you something. And then I promise this is the last one. I could turn to a million verses here. And I know there's not a million verses. That's called hyperbole. There could be a million, though. As John said, the books that should be written. If the books that should be written were ever written about what Jesus said and did, the world itself could not contain them all, right? Did y'all find it? You know the new wine? Yeah, here we go. All right. Well, let's read this together. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Now, I'm going to tell you right now what Jesus is talking about. The new wine, and of course, when he holds up the wine at the Last Supper and says, this is the new testament in my blood, I'm telling you, if you don't, we let the Bible interpret the Bible. But he was letting them know. He said, no man putteth new wine into old bottles. We don't put the new wine into the old container of the old covenant. Doesn't work. Else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. Now, here's what's interesting. He didn't say the new wine would perish. He said the bottles would perish. Okay? Very important. We've got containers for what God does. And guess what? The old covenant was a container, and he did all that he wanted to do with that. Now he said, I'm going to give you some new wine, but it's got to go into new bottles, a new wineskins, new container. Let's keep going. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and what? Both are preserved. The new wine, the new covenant, the new testament of his blood has to be in a new container, not the old one. Doesn't work if you try to put it in the old one. The new container is the New Testament requirements and liberty and freedom. You understand? Keep going. No man also having drunk old wine immediately desires the new, for he says the old is better. He said, that this is Jesus prophesying to us that there would be a struggle for some who love the old to accept the new. He knew what was going to happen. But he said, new wine in new bottles, both are preserved. So you know what? I'm going to tell you right now. I would rather go to the local mega church than I would to one of these Torah groups. What I'm saying is at least they got one part true. So, let me stop here. Somebody say hallelujah. God is good. God is good. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we have a new covenant. Or as Hebrews says, a better covenant with better promises. Man, how many of us would already have been stoned? I would have been. They would have stoned me. I wouldn't have made it in the old covenant. Mm-mm. I was a rebellious teenager. They said, take them out and kill them immediately. See, it was tough. Y'all want to talk? We need to thank God for what Jesus has done. And we need to be at peace and at rest in that. He is my Sabbath. He is my Passover. He is my tabernacles. He is my atonement. He is my first fruits. He is my unleavened bread. He is everything I need. I don't need any of those things because I got him. Those are the shadow. I got him. I got him in me, with me, talking to me. I got his anointing and his presence on me. Why would I go back and say, I need that stuff from the old? I don't need that stuff. I just want to keep walking with him. Stay in Him. Keep walking by faith. Keep being led by the Spirit. And yes, live a holy life according to the commandments of the New Testament. And you'll be fine. And on that day, let me say, on that day when you stand before God, do you think you're going to stand there on the judgment day before the judgment seat of Christ and say anything about what you did? No, your mouth will be shut. What will be on your mind is, I thank God for what He did for me. I thank God for mercy, mean undeserved kindness and forgiveness. You won't be sitting there thinking, I kept the feast and I wore the tzitzit. Oh, I know He's going to let me in. He knows I'm more righteous than these other heathen Christians over here who celebrated Christmas. Well, you saying that in your head there? No. I know what I'm going to be saying. I trusted You, not me. I looked to You, not me. I know I failed over and over and over again. But You forgave me when I asked, because You shed Your blood on the cross. When I pray now, I don't go to Him like, oh, God, You see all the people I preach to, or You see all the people that's gotten saved, or You see all the people that's gotten healed or delivered from demons. I don't say any of those things, because I know none of that happens apart from His grace and mercy in my life. I didn't earn a thing by anything I've done, good or bad. I didn't earn it. And I can't and never will. I just cry out to Him, Lord, I need Your blood to wash me clean. And if you're not in prayer sometimes going, I hate who I am. I hate the crap that rises up in me. The only hope I have is faith in Your blood, Jesus, Your righteousness. I have no other. There's not a list I can keep. Why can't people understand that? Why can't they just understand? It's Him. It's not us. We can't do it. And all this struggling about who is more righteous than who. You know, I have way more knowledge, revelation, understanding than I had when I was 19 years old. But I'm no more clean from my sins now at 56 than at 19. Because the blood washed me at 19, still washing me at 56. So let me say this. I don't hate any Torah follower. I don't hate John Pounders or anybody else or Skiba. I love them, and I hope they come out of their error. I hope they come to find the peace and the freedom to be just a New Testament Christian that just trusts Jesus' blood and resurrection for righteousness. And quit condemning your brothers and sisters and dividing us. Anyway, let's stand. Let's do a Christmas song. I like that last one we're singing. Let's do that. And you know, it's not about Santa Claus to us. We've never done Santa Claus or flying reindeer. It's always been about Jesus and family. That's it. To me, that's what Christmas is. Whether Jesus was born at this time of year or not, you can argue all you want to. I share what I believe. You share what you believe. It's fine. But bottom line, we celebrate that. Yes. Yes. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating that.
There's nothing wrong with giving gifts to your family. There's nothing wrong with a tree decoration. There's nothing wrong with any of that family time. We just had a great time with the grandkids in the mountains.
Awesome.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with seeing the kids open something and go, oh, this is awesome? What's wrong with that?
Right.
What's wrong with it taking time at this time of year to just say, you know what, I'm going to spend extra time with family I don't get to see? It's just such foolishness. And some of the greatest Christian songs ever written are about the birth of Jesus. And you know what? The birth of Jesus is very important. Born of a virgin. That's very important. Very, very important part of the doctrine, the sound doctrine of Christianity. So let's do this.
We worship you, Lord.
We worship you. We give you praise. So we just ask you, Lord, to move today and bless your people, those watching and listening. Lord, we thank you for your precious blood that was shed. We thank you that you paid the price for the sins of all the world, that we just have to believe. We have to turn to you. Yes, we have to repent of sin, that you've given us New Testament, moral law. And we choose to accept that and walk in that and walk by faith in you, in your blood, in your resurrection. We thank you. We thank you for it all. Thank you for coming and being born of the Virgin Mary. Thank you, Lord, that you lived that sinless life, that you did all that. You went through the beating and the mocking and the scourging and the being nailed to a cross so we could be forgiven and inherit eternal life. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Y'all know the rule. Hug some necks before you leave, unless you're still coughing and snotting. All right. Love y'all. Have a great Christmas day tomorrow with your families. Amen. All right. God bless.